I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hello, Sam. Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not too terribly bad. At PFF underscore Sam on Twitter, he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Boy, we've been arguing about everything today. One of the things that we haven't argued about, though, today, Sam, is Baker Mayfield and his future with the Cleveland Browns. We read your article. We mentioned it earlier in the show. His landing spots. You have, obviously, Seattle and Carolina, and you put why and why not and all the other good stuff. It's a great article, Pro Football Focus. But when it comes to Baker, I hear Ian Rappaport and I hear Tom Pelissero, both respected, say that there's a chance he plays for the Browns. And I'm sorry, Sam, I don't see it. What is a realistic way Baker Mayfield plays for the Cleveland Browns this year?
I'm kind of with you. I think the only way he would play for the Browns is if the team decides that there is a Deshaun Watson suspension looming on the horizon and they need him. And they're just going to keep him around and he'll have to deal with it. Look, I like Baker Mayfield. I think his personality, it gets him into trouble in terms of he gets unfairly criticized for it. Whereas if he was winning, if everything was going well, if he was in the situation some other quarterbacks are in, we would be looking at it as a strength rather than a weakness. I will say, though, that when things go south, it can be a problem. And it went south, right? They've given his job to somebody else. So I would imagine that Baker Mayfield being forced essentially to sit around as somebody's backup on a roster is a potentially very toxic situation to have around in a locker room that you don't want any part of. So I really don't see Baker Mayfield being kept around. I think the talk that he could be kept around is largely desperately trying to keep some kind of trade hopes alive, you know, that they might be able to coax a draft pick out of somebody before the season. But if they do, then I think that's a really fascinating situation to watch unfold and see how he deals with that.
Sam Monson joined us on the hotline. So we have 4 years of Baker Mayfield in the NFL. The highs were pretty high. The lows were awfully low. How do you think other teams view him? And then throw in to whether or not you believe that the essence of Baker Mayfield is truly hurting him.
Yeah, it's funny. We've got 4 years of Baker Mayfield, but so little of that, I think, is a fair reflection on what he actually is. We had a really impressive rookie season, and excitement was high, and we expected things to go really well year two. And then year two was the Freddie Kitchens year, and that year was such a disaster that everybody got fired at the end of it. And Baker Mayfield's play did not keep going forward. It regressed. It wasn't as good. And then we cleaned house, and then there was renewed excitement. On the start of 2020, that didn't start well because new offense, Kevin Stefanski, started with some of the toughest games on the schedule in terms of defenses trying to figure out a new system against. You know, Baltimore was early, Pittsburgh was early. But overall, that season went really well. And by the end of the year, Baker Mayfield was playing his best football. And again, excitement levels were high. We expected him to come into the 2021 season and show a career year and be a potential Pro Bowl caliber quarterback and a top 10 guy. And obviously that didn't happen. He got the shoulder injury and just completely unspooled as the season went on. So now you're left at the end of four seasons sort of wondering, what exactly is he? Because we've seen some really good play. We've seen some pretty bad play. Most of the bad play, if not explainable, you know, if you can't explain it away, you can at least put a caveat on it or an asterisk next to it. And you're left kind of saying, well, look, the chances are he's somewhere in the middle. He's a league average starting quarterback, but now you have to pay him. Like now the cheap deal or the cheap years for Baker Mayfield are done. So now either the Browns or any prospective team that are going to take him on is saying, well, he's a league average quarterback. arguably with an attitude that we don't love. And we now need to decide whether he gets paid a giant sum of money for a second contract. And I think that's what's causing all the problems, that nobody wants to take on that kind of money for somebody whose baseline is where Baker Mayfield has been and whose volatility is as extreme as Baker Mayfield has been over the first 4 years.
Do you think he's broken?
No, I think if you could put him back together after the Freddie Kitchens year, I think you can put him back together after playing a season hurt with a bad shoulder. I think realistically, you know, that was a serious injury. And as much as everyone sort of says, well, it's on his non-throwing shoulder, it's going to impact everything. You know, when you're playing with one side of your body that really can't take a hit, it's going to change how you play the game. You're not going to react in the pocket the same way that you would normally. You're not going to honestly read a defense and take the appropriate amount of time. It's just going to change the way you play. So I think it's entirely fair to say that last season does not represent where Baker Mayfield's even just average level of play should be. He's a better quarterback than that. And I think the chances are he plays significantly better than that just by being healthy. Now, the question is where, like how much better and how where is his ceiling? And I think that's still kind of an open question.
I look at raising a quarterback the same way as raising a child. There is a shared responsibility to some level. How much of this, all this with Baker, this negativity, how much of a percentage would you put on the Browns being at fault?
I think Baker's been let down by a lot of people last year. I mean, I was saying that during the season that he is running a serious risk of costing himself a lot of money. Like, remember, you go back a year ago, we were expecting him to have a career year. We're talking, you know, if he plays well this season, he's going to get that contract, right? He's going to get maybe not the Josh Allen deal, but whatever the next tier down from that is, he's going to get the $30+ million a year deal. And he was allowed to play himself out of that deal. When he kept fighting through that injury and gutting it out and trying to play hurt and do the best for his team and presumably for himself as well, not only did that deal get taken off the table, but now the Browns went after Deshaun Watson. His job got taken away from him, and now he's in limbo because nobody else wants even the fifth-year option deal. So I think the Browns, you know, didn't necessarily do the best job by him overall in terms of some of these problems you can explain away by just dysfunction elsewhere. And then between the Browns and, you know, Baker Mayfield's advisors, like, he just should not have been allowed to play as long as he did last year, because it absolutely cost him that contract.
Sam Monson joining us from Pro Football Focus. We've obviously had a lot of discussion once we got Deshaun Watson and wondering about suspension and all that. But just looking at him as a quarterback, the last time we saw him, I believe he led the NFL in QB rating. I know nobody likes to look at that stuff anymore. We have newer numbers. But where did you guys have him during that 4-12 season for the Texans, in which it seemed like he still was holding up his end of the bargain?
Yeah, he was. It was a funny year, because if you look at the top graded quarterbacks at PFF, four of the top five graded guys, I think we had four or five guys above 90 in PFF grade, four of the top five guys were in the championship games. And then Deshaun Watson was the other one. So he was right up there with Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Rodgers, who was MVP that year, right? Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. Like, Deshaun Watson was right up there with that group, but he was on the Texans, and that team had just sort of fallen apart around him. So the last time we saw Deshaun Watson playing football, he was playing basically as well as any quarterback in the NFL. I think that's what the Browns are chasing. That's what the Browns are paying for when they're going after a guy like that relative to Baker Mayfield. And I think even if you were taking an optimistic viewpoint of where Baker Mayfield's ceiling is, it's probably lower than that.
Sam Monson joining us on the show. Is there any rust that we should be, Deshaun Watson, I'm convinced, is going to play this year and is going to play for the Browns multiple games this year. What is the risk of rust? I mean, it's been a year, could be a year and a half by the time he plays again. What is it?
Yeah, I don't think it's a long-term risk, whatever it is. I think the first game or two, you might see a relatively, you know, unconvincing, maybe, Deshaun Watson. You don't see the guy that we just talked about, the 90-plus PFF grade, the quarterback that was just playing at a level as well as any quarterback in the NFL. We might see him have to go through a couple of games that are a little bit more shaky. But then I think you're back to the guy he always was. I don't think rust is going to be a long-term issue. It might be something that just needs to be knocked off right at the start of the season. And maybe, you know, Deshaun Watson gets a little preseason time to try and shake off some of that rust as well, in a way that, you know, the league is trending the opposite direction, right? Quarterbacks are playing less and less preseason. We're just throwing them straight in there. I think that probably indicates how relatively unconcerned teams are about that idea of rust, that, you know, elite quarterbacks are just being told to go out week one and get it done. So I don't think it's a really big deal. I think we might see a slight hiccup the first week or two, and then we're getting business as usual.
If you have, do you have a stat at Pro Football Focus about the success rate of quarterbacks after they take a trip with their teammates?
No, I don't think we've looked too hard into that. It's definitely a data point we got
to
add.
He's going to the Bahamas with an unknown amount of guys on the football team. And some people kind of made jokes about Camp Colt McCoy and Baker Mayfield going, where did Baker go, Wyoming or Montana last year with Austin Hooper and OBJ? Somewhere out west he went. And people are like, oh. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. These are not great quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson is a great quarterback. I think it could work. It's one of the stories that after it works, people go, oh, that really worked. That really helped. I think it would work just because he's a good quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think generally speaking, pretty much every NFL quarterback is getting guys together in the offseason and working with them, you know, mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah, you're going to be able to make of it what you will. It's going to work for great quarterbacks. It's probably not going to work for bad quarterbacks. And, you know, Deshaun Watson, the last thing we saw of him, he was a great quarterback.
One final thing, Sam. Amari Cooper, we've had a lot of discussion about just how big of a threat he is. Some of the advanced numbers maybe don't necessarily jive with that, but you guys have your own proprietary numbers. What do you think of Amari? Is he a number one? Is he a number two?
I think he's a number one. Amari Cooper wins at all levels of the field, in all ways, and the only concern or the only question is, well, how consistently does he do it? And, you know, Dallas ultimately was getting a little bit upset at the kind of return on investment and given how much money they were paying him and what his production was that they were saying, look, it's not worth it. And they ended up moving him, and that's Cleveland's gain. But when you look at every offense he's ever been on, he's made an immediate and obvious impact in terms of how much better it's been for his presence. You look at the ways he wins, he scares corners, he scares defenses, it's kind of all levels and all aspects or all different routes of the field. He can win on in-breakers, he can win on out-breakers. He's got a number one skill set, and okay, he might not have the consistency of, you know, a Davante Adams, who's got the number one skill set and also does it every single play, but, you know, baby steps. Cleveland didn't have a great receiving core. Adding a guy that has that number one skill set, I think, is a huge addition to it, and then they need to keep on building it and, you know, make sure that they don't become completely dependent on Amari Cooper and Amari Cooper only.
Sam, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours, my friend.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. Find him on Twitter at @PFF_Sam on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Coming up in a bit, Patrick Beverley, you have the right to be a hater, no matter whether or not I agree with you or not. And Kyrie is laying the groundwork for a return. Don't take my word for it. Take his. It's just a question of when. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live in the fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.